speaker is Mr. Dick Carlson. Dick works as a nutritionist and assistant yard manager at Producers Feed Yard in Greeley. Dick and I were talking earlier, and he's a CSU graduate, getting those nutrition work. He's done some work for Farmland, and sort of not very, it's not straight very far from home. So we're glad to have another Colorado native on the program.
There you go.
So Dick, I know you've got a little different experience than Steve's had in terms of these kind of programs. So floor is yours.
All righty. Thank you. It's great to be back at Fort Collins. I think when Steve and I went to school over here, this was probably our parking lot to get over the Animal Science Building when we were here. But it's great to be here to visit with you. Following Steve and with Dr. Belk, there's going to be a lot of similarities. Just a little brief history. Producers Livestock Marketing Association works throughout about 7 states in the western part of the United States. Marketing cattle preliminary, most people think is through auction barns. After the auction barns, we delved into having another service as feedlots is totally service provided. So the association decided we'd go into the service part to feed cattle. So it is totally customer oriented. We feed about 40,000 head of cattle in that area. Grow yards that we can specifically do that and a cheaper forage base that we do that. We market to Swift, XL, and Coleman Natural Meats. That's kind of our main source, what we do in that area right there. Through these current programs, BC Natural Foods, Coleman, B3R Meats, that's the Never Ever program through them, and then the Swift Age Verified. Coleman Natural Meats is, as a lot of the other programs that were up there that Keith showed, you know, they all have their own specifications. You know, feedlots need to be verified. They need to sign the affidavits. Affidavits have to come from the producer of vaccination programs. I can get on my nutrition bandwagon here a little bit with this because a lot of times when we have these natural programs come through, I always hear everybody say, oh, they just need their vaccinations. Well, as a nutritionist and other nutritionists will tell you, if that nutrition is not right, go ahead and squirt the vaccination in the air. If everything is not right, you know, don't try to sell the natural program to anybody without that, because it doesn't go. It costs more for Steve and I to feed those cattle, knowing that we got medications of kicking cattle out of the program, trying to find a spot for them after we go through those wrecks. That's enough for that one. But that's just something that you need to know on those type of programs. Swift Age Verified. Some of the things that I know, Swift has been in a lot of the negotiations with Japan. So as they've gone through a lot of these, Keith's been over there, the Swift people have been over there to do a lot of this negotiation. There's been a lot of work done on it. We happen to work under the QSA program for Swift. What this requires, and I want you to get familiar with the AMS, you know, that's something that as you develop programs, Animal Marketing Service is something that you need to know. You need to know how to find it. If you want to develop your own programs, all the protocol is there. You know, to follow the steps and go through it. It's one more step to find that market that's out there. There's just some of the things on there that we have to go through, and it is on the BEV program that was going through with USDA. Just the affidavits, the trail, the paper trail. Most of you as commercial people, seed stock people, know that there's a trail. If it's the brand papers, if it's the health papers, there's a trail. You know, what happens on the Swift program, I kind of have to, that little black and white thing up there in the corner, just kind of ignore that a little bit. But as they were talking about the demand for cattle going into this Swift program, that's been the problem, getting the cattle. When that opened up to Japan, the cattle were not there. We have one large customer that wanted to get into this market, and where we could age and verify cattle without any problem of documentation was through the dairy industry. So as this deal has happened and gone to Japan, a lot of these cattle are Holstein beef, because they know we can give them documentation of what day they were born, what dairy they were on, when they moved to the calf ranch, when they went to the feedlot, when they went to the packing plant, and we can give you the number, the cow it was born to, the day it went to each place. That's the documentation that Dr. Belk was talking about, that trail you got to have. This little image up here with the USDA, the AMS program, they just list the things that you need to have to set up your own program. So just kind of get aware of that. This is the other part. And one thing you need to kind of be made aware of is right here there's a few little stipulations that you, not everybody's get really informed on this stuff. It's kind of like the tax audit system. You better keep your records because you do have to have them. There's a certain time for cow-calf operations, 3 years from the date of birth. You have to keep those records. You know, so there is a trail that you need to keep with that. This is the same one that Dr. Belk had up, so you'll get really familiar with what we're talking about on the EV programs. You know, there are different verifications. The red's a little hard to do, to see up there, but the Japanese program, which we work with on what we're doing on just the one specific program, they do have to be individually identified on this. And it does say the group, but month, day, year, it's the day they were born. Individual animal verification, you know, as I said, all those records have to be there. They have to be documented. You have to have the trail. You know, as I mentioned before, this trace back trail, as you go through that audit process, Dr. Belk did a great thing of going through and telling you what happens on that audit trail. I mean, they start, since we work under the umbrella of the packing plant of Swift, they will go to them, they come to us, they go to the calf ranch. You know, they go there, they look, they see, and then they come back and say, okay, open your books up. We want to see that you can actually prove what you're saying. You know, we've gone through the process of, you know, doing our, in our written program, just like Steve's done. I mean, it's something you have. And the one really important part of this is that everybody in your feedlot has to take ownership of this program, because that auditor can go to anyone within your feedlot and start asking them, how do you keep cattle isolated? How are you going to prove to me that you're sending that animal from that pen? So everybody in the feedlot operation needs to be informed. Again, all the records, individual group IDs. Here's what we do at the feedlot. Identification with EIDs, the tags, so you have the two-tag identification. We've done the retinal scanning also, which works great. Record systems. You know, take your pick. You do make your own, use a commercial, however you want to do it. Just make sure you know what it is. With the commercial seed stock, calving books, I mean, you got a birth date. I mean, that's where you start. So just make sure the good little old red books, the calving, whatever you want to use, but you got the birth dates there. So that marketing potential is there for you to use. Receiving, processing, shipping protocol, like I said, has to be understood by everyone. The data collection, you know, what we use is a handheld scanner. We scan it into a database, then we cross-reference that over to individual animals, put the date of birth, and put the dairy it came from. That goes to ranch cattle, too. We can do the same thing. It's not that hard of a deal. And once you get into it, it's repetitive, you get it done, and you have the same people do it all the time. You know, you can use the computer for your storage. Good old pencil is as good as anything. Just make sure you have it, because we have hard copy, we have computer copy. That's one thing through the USDA audit program is they want that hard copy. Don't just show them, oh, that's on my memory disk. It's not going to go. So make sure you have all those copies. This is something we did They deal with OptiBrand and the Swift Traceability Program. Just to show you on this, this is the gang tag that came off of from the plant, retinal scan tags, carcass tags, EID off of those cattle. This was an individual ID, just in a other reference, date of birth, where that calf came from. That was the calf ranch that was a dairy. So we could trace from the dairy to the calf ranch. We had that number that went with us all the time. That went with those animals. We sent about 600 of them to Japan. And it was good to see what Dr. Belk did with showing how all of that went through that process. It was really neat to see how they could go through there, just, you know, scan the barcode on that image of that cut of meat and look at there and get, you know, they got the whole history of what you've done, how you fed them, you know, the whole thing. We use this for our employees. It's a source of pride to them to know that, you know, you guys went through, you got all this information. That person knows that you grew that animal, you fed it, you did the best care you could with that animal, and we've hit a market that is there. And that's rewarding your customer, painting the animal pink if you got to, but you do what you can for the customer. This real quick, I'm going to just go through this really fast. This is just things that are real basic that for you as individuals to set up on your ranch, farm ranch profile. It's what every QSA program, process verified program, is going to want in some form or the other. It's documentation you probably already have. It's just write it down. Any outside stock, document it came in. You know, simple things as you go through there. Name of the veterinarian. As for your health information, in case of outbreak of disease, you take care of it that way. Just descriptions of your operations, how you feed them, where you feed them, pasture, confinement, whatever that's going to be. There's five primary options for your to the producers. This, number one, have your own written PVP QSA program. Enroll in one with another group. There's a lot of other groups out there through pharmaceutical companies, through breed associations, state associations. Go ahead and work with them. You can move up the supply chain, work with something that way. What we've done is we've worked with a packer and worked underneath that with a QSA program. Or you can just, as a third party, you can work that way. Just real quickly, the benefits to the producer. There are different marketing opportunities as you develop the programs, as you go through them. Production information retrieval. If you have the documentation, you have the IDs, you get things back that you can use on your ranch for improvement, production, things that you can work on. You know, it's not just animal ID, it's things that can come back to you that you can use on your operation. As mentioned before, the trace back on disease. I think as we go along, and as proven, you know, the increased demand for source verified cattle, you go down the corner down here to Whole Foods. That's something that they, as a natural wholesaler, is going to start looking at too. I mean, they're going to be doing exactly the same thing that Japan is doing right now. That you can go look through your phone, they'll give you the information where that animal was raised and the whole history on that. And that's coming here in the U.S. So those things are happening. Benefits to the feeder, as Steve and I, you know, it gives us another option for marketing cattle that you bring to us as customers. You know, we know the source, we know the health, things like that, that is only beneficial to you and to us to feed those cattle. As data management happens, it really increases the dialogue between us and you, the producer. If we have questions, we are going to call, because if we don't have information on an animal and it's hindering the whole lot from going into that program, we need to know and you have the information. Here's just some real quick, what kind of major hang-ups. We got wrong or no information, like I just said, that the whole lot can be out. You know, if things are mixed, wrong information, we can't send stuff to the plant. It's a major problem. Missing tags, cross-identification. That's why there's two tags in the animal. You lose one, you can look at the other one, you can figure out who it is. Put another one back in there and go on. Premise ID is probably the easiest thing there is to do, but you need to have it. Who manages the data in your operation for that communication again? And the biggest thing, probably for us, hang-ups for success is if something happens out of your plant, out of the control. I'm thinking of the packing plant. Somebody puts the wrong box in the container. It goes to Japan. They find bones in there. Market's gone. So you've just done all of your work to get the cattle there. You just lost your market. The only good thing is now with the new Japanese agreement is that it's plant specific. It's good and bad. We had cattle going to Greeley. They shut the Greeley plant down for that program because of something that happened in their warehousing. So we were ended up shipping to Grand Island instead of Greeley. You know, so there's things that you got to work around. Any BSE scare, every time you do it, you get a lump in your throat. Okay, this work just all went for naught. So, you know, there's things that happen out of your control. Rewards, as I said before, you're accurate on your program. You do it right. You have employees that have done their job. It's something that's very motivational for employees to know that you got it done and you did it the way you said you were going to do it. You went through your QSA and everything was right. Just a couple information things. This nationalfair.com is something that I've used when we went through there because it had the thing that worked for us in our program. You know, you kind of write up your own the best way that's going to work you as long as it fits those AMS guidelines. That's the one that worked for us. This Western Extension Marketing Committee, they have a website that has some terrific ideas for EIDs. Just for different ways to use that, different ways to implement it into your program. Then again, wwamsusda.gov, that is the one to get your information, to know you're setting things up the way that should work. Any questions? Yeah, you know, if it goes to the 30-year, I don't know if there is going to be, or the 30-month, I don't know that there's going to be much reward. Because like you said, it is a lot of, there's a lot of time involved. We figure from, if we get one pen of cattle in, we got about probably 12 man hours. By the time we process those cattle, get all the database managed in there. So we're hoping, you know, the 20-month, we can work with it. You know, I think you can work with it, too. I mean, it's going to have to be the genetics that are going to get you there. But I'm hoping the rewards stay there. I have my doubts that when it gets to 30 months that there's going to be that much because there could be, there should be more cattle come on with that. Should be more availability. I totally agree. You know, there used to be a number there where there was $8 to $10 premium on the natural programs. That might have been fine on 2.5 bushel corn, but as that spread goes, then your efficiency goes down, and you probably lose 15 to 20% efficiency with that ionophores or implants. That spread and what that cost difference is going to be to raise that goes with it. I mean, you can't live on that same premium.
And you're not saying increase in the natural premium?
No.
Anybody else again?
How do you compensate for the hang-up? If cattle fall out in an all-natural program, or if the market closes to Japan, if somebody already has their cattle specifically for that market, who pays for that? I mean, do you share that with your customer, or how does that work?
We don't own the cattle.
So it always comes out of producer's pocket. Even if they fall out of the feed yard stand, all natural program? Or?
Yeah, if they fall out of a natural, all natural program, the fastest we can do, and I think what most people do, I mean, they're out of the program. We implant them on a four and get on with the program so that we can get that efficiency back on those cattle. But it's going to cost that feeder a whole lot more money to try to, you know, because they're out of the program. So you just have to accept that they're out. So you just need to get on with it so you can reduce the cost input into that animal. If you try to leave and try to feed it natural, it's only going to cost you more because they've been sick. So it's going to take that much more to feed them.
Great. Well, let's give, I guess, one more question.
I'm going to defer that one.
I didn't know.
Right now, that's probably between 5 and 10. Depends on the plant area. 5 to 10. Between 5 and 10% depending on the plant.
Of our entire U.S. product?
Yes. But isn't that important thing, Bob, what is imported? And I mean, exported and at what price? Like tons. If we're nothing here and $16 over there, isn't that so real?
It's an excellent point. You know, the products that we depend on to export can be really value-added products versus, you know, trying to sell those domestically at a much lower price. That's an excellent point.
We exported about 10% of our product before BSE. Now we're 50% back. We've got all nations back on board except Japan and Korea, Russia, and China. China was real small, about $31 million customer. Didn't have Russia, so those are just prospects we're getting. But I guess my point there is that half of our total volume in export is tied up to Japan and Korea. It's a free trade agreement we signed with Korea. It's the largest thing we've ever done. Most important big deal. However, they're only going to export about $1 billion. Pre-BSE, they were 880 million. And I don't know what they're going to do. They keep finding ways to get around these. But, and Japan is so small. I don't know. It's going to take further development for those markets to do us any good. But we're about 50% open right now, if I understand my figures right. And so will that be today, about 5%?
Let's give Dick a nice round of applause. We appreciate it.